recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get on, get on, shut up, man. Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Hey, I want to thank our sponsors for this show, KY Duration, TheraWorksRelief.com, TrueCar.com, and download your Pluto TV as well. I was listening to Oprah, and she was interviewing Michelle Obama. I don't want to be a hater. Like, uh-oh. I feel like it's a little easy with Oprah. But it's kind of weird. There isn't that much. There's not a whole lot of there. Hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Most of the stuff she talks about is kind of, it's all mostly platitudes. It's you want to be your best you.
Sure.
And it's like.
Just all inspirational stuff is a lot of empty nothing. Everything inspirational. Just to make you feel good in that moment.
Right? I don't even know if it works in that moment, but no, I will say this. I'm fond of listening to Dennis Prager, and Dennis Prager will do something, I think second hour of his Friday shows or something. It's called the Happiness Hour, and he talks about happiness, and he talks about how to be happy and how you have to work at it and how you owe it to other people around you. And it's like having bad breath. It's like you brush your teeth and you owe it to your coworkers to be happy, whatever. And I listened to it pretty closely, and I get a lot from it. But if he said, you know, the key to happiness, you be the best you, I wouldn't get anything from
right.
that. You know,
right.
you know
right.
what I mean?
Yeah, it's empty.
It's a platitude.
Empty calories, potato chips.
Right, yeah. With Alestra. And Oprah does much more of that than her constituency understands.
Yeah.
She does a
lot. I got in a fight with her on the air once.
Really?
Yes.
It wasn't a fight.
Well, it was they were having these young people, they were talking about the quarter life crisis. Oh my God. And I made some comment like come on. This is mental health. This is mental illness. This is not something special. And they need, you know, I started talking about it. And Oprah said, I can't remember the specifics. This was a long time ago. And she
yelled silence.
No, she said something like, I see people overcome adversity all the time on this show just through will, inspiration, and a spiritual outlook on the world. And I thought, no.
No.
And she folded her arms and she sat back in her chair and said, okay, go ahead. And she would not say a word the rest of the
segment. Well,
rest of the
I don't
segment.
Think she's used to being disagreed with very often.
Right. And so she hung me out to dry completely. And I was like, I can talk. So I just kept talking.
But
And that was that. And it was like, wow. I was shocked. There was no discourse. No like back and forth or anything.
Yeah. And I was listening.
And she wasn't royalty then. It was back before she was, you know, canonized.
Well, I have a couple of versions of this. So once in a while, hold your ears, Gary. But I go, is Kanye West really a genius and I'm missing out on something? And then I go, I'm going to sit down and listen to Kanye West on Saturday Night Live or something. And then he gets in a giant banana outfit and puts a park
bottle
over it. And then he points at the fucking ceiling like son of flubber. And I go, oh, he's a fucking idiot. Like, he doesn't know. No, he's horrible. And then every once in a while I go, DJ Khaled, what's going on? What am I missing? I'm going to like sit down and I'm really going to listen. And there's a white man's version of this. It's fucking Lou Reed. Like, David Wilde. I'll go, I write for the Rolling Stone, and he is a musical genius. And I'll go, I'm going to sit down and listen to some Lou Reed. And he's fucking a talentless hack. So every once in a while, I look around and I go, what am I missing with like your Oprah? Like, is she that spellbinding? I do not think there's a version of this that works on dudes, because you got to up your fucking game a little bit if you're going to do this with dudes.
Mm-hmm.
But Oprah can have dominion over all the semi-unemployable chick she talks to. But she's just become royalty, and that's that. And so I listened to an entire two-part series of her interviewing Michelle Obama, and there's a couple things. First off, Oprah's one big fat fucking platitude. It's just nothing. There's really nothing there. I mean, it's not negative. It's not bad. It's not evil. It's just like you have to be your best you. and that's all you can be. But like that kind of stuff.
To be fair to her, she's perfected that and she's highly reinforced for it.
Yes, so she's perfected. She's perfected nothing.
You can't blame her.
I'm not blaming her. I'm blaming everybody else.
I blame the consumers.
Right. I blame the consumers. And then I also realized like she does a good job, or her people do, of preparing for an interview, pulling passages from the book and that kind of stuff. Yeah. But she doesn't bring much. Like she does a very competent interview, mm-hmm. which takes a lot of reps, and there is a skill there. Mm-hmm. But I never hear her say anything where I go, holy shit, I never thought of that, or that's good, or that's challenging. You've now challenged
her. Or nor do you think to yourself, I can't wait to hear this person being subjected to her interview the way you would say to Howard Stern or something.
Exactly right. All right. I'll play the cold open just so you can hear the opening of her podcast, and it's another one of her kind of platitudism things, which is all – and also there's – something going on about being your best self and finding your best, your authentic yourself and all stuff. It means nothing to you and I, right, Drew?
Nothing.
Okay, here we go.
I'm Oprah Winfrey. Welcome to Super Soul Conversations, the podcast. I believe that one of the most valuable gifts you can give yourself is time. Taking time to be more fully present. Your journey to become more inspired and connected to the deeper world around us starts right now.
So give yourself the greatest gift you can give, which is the gift of time.
Yeah. To become connected to the deep world around you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And nothing.
Right. Well, the part before that, I want to hear it one more time, because the part that's before it, it's a little more esoteric and a less meat on the bone, which is the thing you give yourself is time. Yeah. I'm not even sure if I'm down with the concept of you giving yourself things.
No.
But it seems weird. But the next one, sorry, get ready to pause, Gary. Go and play it again.
I'm Oprah Winfrey. Welcome to Super Soul Conversations, the podcast. I believe that one of the most valuable gifts you can give yourself is time. Taking time to be more fully present.
Huh?
Well, giving yourself the gift of time to be more fully present.
Time is a feature in being present, a minor one, but it's necessary before you can be present.
You could also just be present.
Yeah.
Matt, I got you in the mid-60s right now in terms of the presentometer.
It's pretty accurate.
Gary? You're in like high 50s, sort of bumping up against the rev limiter of 60 in the presence. Maybe you guys should take a little more time to be more present. Give yourself the gift.
That would be a gift.
You give yourself the gift of more time so that you could be more present.
Do you know, between my 60 and his 50, we're giving you 110%.
I never thought about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That deserves a sniff.
So anyway, Oprah did what she does. She weaves a spell over all the Dumbos, which is you just heard her say sort of nothing.
Well, it sounds good, right?
It does sound good. I have no idea what the people are there to get a free Pontiac are thinking, but I'm sorry. Play it out, Gary. So listen.
Your journey to become more inspired and connected to the deeper world around us starts right now.
It's your journey.
The deeper world around us.
Okay, that was one big pile of platichow, right? That's like if they made a kibble of platitude and you just dumped it into a metal bowl, just be, that's platichow, everybody.
But she's the best at it. It's
feast,
the best
Dumbos.
Platichow.
Hey, Dumbos, you guys worked up an appetite thinking about nothing? Come on in and feast on some platichow.
The best.
It's great, and no one will ever say a disparaging word about her, but I still like it. There's not.
I think there's a reason we don't listen to it.
There just wasn't enough. There's not enough there.
Right.
Then she talked to Michelle Obama. It's always funny when. And I'm now drilling down on this, Drew.
What?
Well, I've always said all roads lead to narcissism, right?
Oh, yes. These days.
Right. And so I can't sit there. I, Oprah and Michelle Obama can't sit there and go, we're so much better than everyone else, because they'd be crucified for saying it in those terms, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
But what if they said, well, they don't have to say how rich and powerful and successful they are. We already know that.
Yeah.
Then they talk about how much harder it is being a woman, and especially a woman of color, and thus they've done the de facto math for us about how much better they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do it already. They do it for you.
It's basically saying, you think juggling's tough? Try it on a unicycle on a tightrope.
Yeah.
That's what this is.
I think anybody can be inspired to do it. But let me show you how it's done.
All right, let me tell you how KY Duration is done. Happy couples talk about what they need in the bedroom. That's why they use KY Duration. Many men want to last longer and satisfy their partners, and they use tricks to distract themselves. And ladies, well, you don't get what you want. Let's give them what they want. KY Duration is endurance enhancer. It helps men temporarily prolong the time until ejaculation. Designed by the experts at KY, it has an FDA-approved active ingredient. Helps him take control so that he can extend the pleasure for the two of yous, and he doesn't have to think about baseball or grandparents or Vietnam or any of that. He can focus on you. Right, Dr. Drew?
Pick up your KY Duration today, available at major retailers, drugstores, and grocery stores. Also, online at Amazon, get KY Duration. It's an OTC, over-the-counter product. Use as directed. Get what you want.
So I was thinking, I was listening to the whole thing, and Michelle Obama, who came across as smart, hardworking, focused, and all things that are good, but a little – everyone's trying to be the best that you can be, and this weird journeys into being me and living your truth,
right.
And like things that never really existed. Like
right.
It used to just be sort of, well, I'm going to be the best wife and the best mom and the best neighbor and, you know, try to be the best citizen I can. I'll volunteer at the church. Now there's some sort of inner, I'm going to live my truth and I'm going to speak my truth and speak my journey of my truth. And it's like, I don't even know. It's a sort of tale and I don't even know what it means. Do you?
Yeah. No, I have no idea. It's all very – again, it's all this weird inspirational talk that is empty platitudes for the most part, and it's – a lot of people have perfected it, and people respond to it, and I blame the people for responding.
Do you have cut five, Gary? This is just a sort of speak your truth one.
You could see people's faces turning every time I talk to people. They'd be like, I thought I – and then, oh – I know her. I understand her. I get her.
Because you're just like me.
Just like me.
You're just like me.
If you tap into your true story and share that truth, it resonates
well,
with people.
Well, that's what becoming does.
Regardless of color and location and region. And those are all that stuff is stuff.
Uh-oh.
Can everyone – all that stuff is stuff. Well, where's my steno pad? I can't write fast enough. Did you say that stuff
all,
was stuff
all that
or stuff
was
things?
No, all that stuff is stuff.
All right. Matt, you've been with me for a while. If you ever get the urge to share your true story with me, just take it outside.
I'll let myself out, yeah.
Please let yourself out. Just go sit in your car.
Can he share his truth, though? Not his true story, but his truth?
He can do it from inside his car with the windows rolled up. And then when you feel like you've purged yourself of sharing your truth, then you can come back out. We'll continue business.
But how can you know who, how can you relate to Matt without him sharing his truth?
I don't even know what anyone's truth is. What is your truth, Drew? Your truth is you're confused by all the fucking truth talk?
Yes.
And sharing your truth?
Yes.
Here's another thing I'm sort of confused by, Drew.
When people say stuff, I always think to myself, they need to study more science. They need more math training.
These are women in their 50s and 60s, you know, late 40s, early 50s, mid 60s, early 60s. Does this shit kick in you're in your 50s?
I don't think so. You mean speaking your truth?
Speaking your truth.
That's when it becomes important?
I mean,
she's been the first lady of the frickin' United States. What truth does she have to speak except her experience?
Well, here's what I'm saying.
What is she talking about? What else would she talk about except her experience as a
leader? Let me hear it one more time. Let me see if we can sort out her truth. But Drew,
yeah.
I get this part of life. I grew up driving a pickup truck.
That's your truth. That's your truth.
Yeah, but hold on. Now there's a plug-in electric, and Jag makes a nice SUV that's a dedicated plug-in electric.
That's your truth now.
And maybe in a couple years, I'll get that car. But I don't get the part where I start stumbling onto psychological theories about my truth at this advanced age.
Yeah.
It seems like I get – listen.
Are they saying just be rigorously honest, which I don't know.
Here's what I'm saying. I get that part where you're 19 and you're stupid and you're high and you're talking about the world and these sort of sweeping generalizations. I find it confusing that – women and men in their midlife are stumbling on to this weird 19-year-old nonsense.
Is it possible?
See what I'm saying?
Yes. Is it possible they're just performing and they know it's empty bullshit?
Well, let me hear it again. Let's see if we can figure out how we can get it. Maybe we'll stumble onto one of our truths along the way.
It's a performance and it sounds good and people like listening to it. It's as simple as that.
Let's hear it.
You could see people's faces turning. Every time I talk to people, they'd be like, I know her. I understand her. I get her.
Because you're just like me.
Just like me.
You're just like me.
If you tap into your true story and share that truth, it resonates
with
people.
Well, that's what becoming does.
Regardless of color and location and region. And those are all that stuff is stuff.
That's what becoming does? Is that what she says?
Becoming is the title of her book. And she's becoming her truth.
See, this is just a performance.
You think so?
It's nothing.
You're so cynical, Drew. I don't feel that. I really don't feel that way.
Really? I feel like I'm giving them an out.
Oh, you do?
By just saying it's a performance and they're not really – they're just interested in selling books and making it sound good and – they understand their audience and, you know.
Well, they did have an audience of young, like, inner-city schoolgirls there who probably need to live their truth. I
mean, and to be fair, look, if Michelle Obama is –
what does living your truth mean?
I have no idea.
I don't either.
But if Michelle Obama
– I have shit I want to do.
That's living your truth, I guess.
I want to eat brisket. Does that involve?
That's my truth.
How much of my truth is that?
It's whatever. When you're eating it, it's your whole truth.
That's my whole truth.
But Michelle Obama is a role model for these young ladies, and just hearing her speak is probably enough for them. If she went off on a discourse about Heideggerian philosophy, I think she'd lose them.
All right. But living your truth, no one's going to argue with that?
Yeah.
All right. I got a couple more snippets to play for you.
Wait, let me talk about – go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. TheraWorks Relief, everybody. Cramps. Awful. Disrupt your sleep. Prevent you from getting around your daily affairs. Prevent you from exercising. No more with TheraWorks Relief. Non-greasy foam proven to relieve muscle cramps fast. Reduce muscle soreness because you're not cramping and tearing those muscles. And with daily use, twice daily use, TheraWorks Relief can prevent muscle cramps before they start. I've got a whole group of patients on this stuff and they swear by it. Takes only minutes to apply. Absorbs quickly. It works. I've been talking about TheraWorks Relief all over the place. Holidays are around the corner. If you know someone with this problem, I'm telling you, they will be thrilled with TheraWorks Relief. And no longer these dangerous medications. Our patients would beat on us about relief from these cramps because it's awful for the people that have them. And all we had was some dangerous medicine, but not no more. We've got TheraWorks Relief, a non-greasy foam proven to relieve the muscle cramps. You can get it at Walmart, CVS, Rite Aid, Walgreens, or talk to your pharmacist. There is enthused design because no more meds, just a foam. Harmless. Learn more at TheraWorksRelief.com.
I was like, your truth or is that the truth?
I think I just spoke the truth.
Okay. I'm a little worried about a society that has your truth and then the truth.
Well, because
that's
then there's,
a little scary.
There's infinite your truths.
There's
and then the
many,
truth is something
yes.
people then would not be very interested in.
Yeah, I'm more in the camp of people that like to know the truth versus
right.
the group that are living their truth.
And here's a little irony in here. Hmm. People that are living their truth are often very assured about being truthful and being their truth. Anyone that's actually in pursuit of the truth knows that's essentially unattainable. You can have
yes.
some model of the truth and some ideas about the truth, but it's ever changing.
All right, let's talk to Ethan, 23, from Toronto. Ethan?
Adam, Dr. Drew, hey now, how's it going?
Hey now.
Hey now.
Right on. So in about 3 weeks, I'm going to be heading to L.A. For about 3.5 months-ish. Mm-hmm. The main goal is to just do sort of as much stand-up comedy, you know, as many open mics as possible. My main concern, my main question, I guess, is not so much, you know, like material and all that. I'm kind of confident with my material, confident in myself. My main concern is that I'm sort of aware that doing comedy in L.A. for 3 months is not really going to get me anywhere, not going to make much of a dent. So really, I need to be there for longer.
Well, let me just say that of those 3 months, 2.75 will be spent driving on the freeway.
That's your truth.
You know what, Dr. Drew, it's not too much better here. It's really not, actually.
He's come from Toronto, yes.
Oh, trust me. Yeah. You have no idea what you're about to get into. I've been to Toronto, and it's way better than this.
I'll have to let you know. But so I guess my main question is, so let's just say metaphorically speaking, Adam, someone were to come into your shop to interview for the job that your nephew just quit on, but they were Canadian. Is that okay, well, we'll see you later, you know, good luck, or is that something you can kind of look at and maybe work with? Because if you do a Google search for that, you know, the consensus is unless you've just signed a contract with the fucking Atlanta Braves or you're going to be working for NASA, just forget about it.
Huh? I don't know, but Ethan, you smoke a fair bit of weed, right?
Little bit, but well, like, okay, my main thing is I'm Canadian, but I'd like to stay in the U.S. for an extended period of time. But in order to do that, I'd have to find sponsorship, apply for visas, and all that. So, Adam, as somebody that probably does a fair amount of hiring, you know, is that some? I'm not saying you specifically, but you know, I'm sure you guys deal with a fair amount of people in the Los Angeles area that do hiring and all that. Is hiring Canadians sort of something that's seen as being plausible, or should I just sort of mainly focus on
hiring
comedy?
Canadian?
I'm trying to think of like what the general sort of sketch of Canadians are. I'm trying to think of like who do you know? Like I've worked with a few Canadian guys and had a few Canadian friends.
Yeah,
I think it's generally favorable.
Oh yeah,
generally.
Yeah,
and maybe even. Now, there are certain cultures that are looked at as more favorable than from the United States, right?
Right now, that's Canada.
Canada, yeah, right?
Right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'd say the Canada. Now, other cultures, there's other guys that may have you beat in certain departments like Germany and Japan, but now there's a language barrier perhaps and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. So I'd say the getting's pretty good for the Canadians. Yes, Drew?
Absolutely.
All right.
100%.
You'd like to hear any more Oprah?
Sure.
I have a thought, Drew. Tell me what you think. So Oprah went on to discuss Michelle Obama or have a sit down with Michelle Obama. And Michelle Obama explains that she comes from poverty and discrimination and all the other stuff, but then does that move that I always stumble on that people do with me all the time. It's sort of they go like, well, I come from a very middle-class family or lower middle class or poverty, whatever. So much so that my first year at Princeton, and then they finish off, or I went to Cambridge, I went abroad for a season. I didn't have enough money to actually make it through the whole semester. And I'm like, yeah, but so for me and Ray and Chris and the guys who were impoverished and living out here, there was no such thing as going off to anywhere.
You wouldn't even know. You wouldn't even have been
Never took the SATs, never discussed it.
It just wasn't in your realm of I mean, just would not. It would sound like a fairy tale or something.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and I also started to realize that.
But to be fair, that's that you guys were culturally impoverished as well as financially impoverished.
Right. And because my parents were super consistent in the impoverished thing. It's just like, why are we just starting the impoverished job and not finishing the impoverished job?
They checked every box. The emotional impoverishment, financial impoverishment,
cultural impoverishment. My dad said many times.
Environmental impoverishment.
He said to me one time, I mean, many times, he would say, son, we're poor and we're not proud. And I'd say, oh, well, I thought it was wait a minute. I thought we were supposed to go the other way with that.
But not us.
Not us. He was explaining. So, but also, when you're poor and you do your poor 0 to graduating high school, you don't languish. And what I'm saying is this, Drew. Mm-hmm. I never had any thoughts about being poor 0 to out of high school. Once I got out of high school, then it really kicked in. Joblessness and the living on your own and the eating the top ramen and the rudderless and the I have no idea what I'm doing.
That's where it really
kicked in. When I was in high school, I was having fun.
Yeah,
I was poor, but so was everyone else. We're having a good time.
You're just a high school student.
Right. Yeah. So I'll play the clip. But first I'll tell you about Pluto TV, the leading free streaming television service. Watch 100 plus TV channels and thousands of movies on demand, all completely free. Pluto TV never asks for a credit card. You don't even need to sign up to watch for free. Easy, and it's completely legal. And you can watch your favorite TV shows and hit movies, and you can do it all for free. So what are you waiting for? Never pay for TV again. Download Pluto TV for free on all your favorite devices today, including your phone, Roku, Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, smart TVs, PlayStation, anywhere else you stream. Why not? Just check them out. And we have the Jassy channel there, too. 501, coveted slot. Mm-hmm. 501 on Pluto TV. It's the best. It is Pluto TV.
More Oprah.
All right, I'll play you the second cut number two. But again, it's like, so it's poverty. We didn't have much. We didn't have anything.
Right.
And then it goes right into.
Because there's plenty of poverty where the family was working hard to make sure the next generation got to go to Cambridge and so they could raise themselves out of this.
Right. Here we go.
It's not the Corolla poverty.
No.
After high school, and I was sorry when it ended, actually. After high school, you went to Princeton, then Harvard Law School, and then you joined this prestigious law firm in Chicago.
So what I'm saying is...
That's like Ray.
What I'm saying is my poverty began when high school ended.
Yeah.
And then I had about 12 or 13 years of languishing, mm-hmm. like really no insurance, no doctors, no medical. Like
is she trying to make the case that she lived an impoverished life?
She's doing this case, which I buy. I mean, which is true, which is we lived in South Side of Chicago.
Sure.
We didn't have money.
Yeah.
We didn't have a big house. We didn't have a fancy car. We didn't all that stuff,
right.
Which is completely true. But we had us, mm-hmm. and we had meals at the table, and we had an intact family, mm-hmm. and we didn't know we were poor, but we were poor, we were poor, we were poor. Everyone focuses on the 0 to 18 poor. Let's focus on 18 to 30 poor. Because that's when you know you're poor, and that's when it kicks in. Mm-hmm. If you can have that childhood, and then you go off to Princeton, and then you go to law school, and then you join a prestigious law, you didn't have a lot of languishing.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, when I was
poor when I was in the 11th grade, but so I didn't know who had what.
Well, there's poor that is sort of threatening poor. Like my dad always described, literally, we didn't know if we were going to eat. We didn't have a roof over our head, this kind of stuff. I don't know if that's true or not, but that was his perception. And there is that kind of
perception.
Right. And people do end up on the streets. I mean, it does happen. But it's not that kind of poor we're talking about.
No, but my overall bigger point is.
Yeah. During high school and junior high school and grammar school, you're just in school.
But here it is. Yes. Thank you.
Yeah.
What I want to say is this. Yes, Anne, mm-hmm. to me.
Mm-hmm.
People make
you're saying yes and to yourself.
I am. I'm speaking my truth. Yes and
your
me.
Your truth is just yes and.
Yes and.
Yes and, Adam.
What I'm saying is this. When you go, I grew up poor.
Yeah.
We didn't have much.
Yeah.
I grew up on the wrong side of tracks. That's all fine. From 0 to 10, like who really knows or who really cares?
But there's a really interesting embedded in this, I want to say. When you're done.
All right.
When you're done.
Sit on it,
mm-hmm.
and then
okay.
I'll let you live your truth.
Yeah.
From 0 to 10.
It'll still be your truth.
From 0 to 10, even a small apartment is big because the ceiling's high and you're little and there's just stuff. Then they get to like junior high and high school and whatever it is. No one really talks about their life 18 to 30. That's when the poorness fucking kicks in.
Yes.
Now, if you can have the 0 to 18 poor and then go off to Princeton, I don't know how poor that even – why are we even talking about that poor?
Because I'm going to pre-sniff.
Thank you.
There is a 0 to 18 poor in which the impoverishment sets up highly traumatizing relationships and circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's domestic violence and drug use and no one's around.
All that is backed out. I'm not talking about any of it. I'm not talking about neglect.
It's just a higher instance of that stuff. And that's where poor goes off the rails.
But in terms of you getting your street cred.
Otherwise, you're completely right. Yes.
People want their street cred. Like, we grew up poor. Your street cred should come from 18 to 25 of being poor.
And if you say a great poor, we had dinner home every night, we had a family together, and we didn't really know we were poor, that goes down as not poor.
Yeah.
that goes down as something else.
Take care of your business.
All right. Cars. That's right. Each and every one of our cars has its own story. We are attached to those stories. We think about those stories. But can you put a price on those stories? Well, with TrueCar, you can find out what your car is worth when it is time to sell it or trade it in. They will tell you. Just go to TrueCar, enter your plate number, your car's details, not any of your fancy stories about date night and whatnot, but the condition of the car. And the answer will pop up. They'll ask you a few questions. And once you're finished, you'll get a true cash offer sent in minutes, which you can take to a local certified dealer to cash out or trade in. It is that simple. So remember, whether you are ready to buy a new car, a used car, or trade in your car now. They have all of it. You can check it out at TrueCar. And, of course, they have that scattergram. You can get that true price. It includes accessories and fees. So you know exactly what you're paying for, and you lock in a price for a vehicle on a TrueCar certified dealer's lot. That's check out TrueCar. True cash offer, not available in all areas.
All right. Live show this Friday, Anaheim Grove, Rob Riggle doing a live pod out there, so come say hi. And we got the Corolla Christmas Crate. Say hi to Lynette over there. Corolla drinks, tons of stuff over there. And go to AmCorolla.com, find out any info, swag, cruises, everything else. Drew?
I go to Doctor.com, it's all there.
All right.
Oh, wait, you can go to my Instagram, Dr. Drew Pinsky. I'm doing some stuff there. Check it out.
So until next time, Adam Kroll for Dr. Drew Saint. Mahalo.
This is Corolla Digital.
Yeah, Pluto TV, the leading free streaming television service. You can watch over 100 channels, thousands of movies on demand. Well, it's free. It's completely free. Normally when you hear on demand, you go, how much? No, not with Pluto TV. They never ask for a credit card. It's all legal. Just go log on and get it done. The time I'm doing this, you could have Pluto TV, download Pluto TV for free. And do it on your Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, smart TVs, your phone, whatever. And check out Chassis, Chassy, our channel, available now on Pluto TV. Stick around for the AP News.